You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
This is going to be fun. Bit messy, but I'm prepared for that. You might not be. It's all okay. We're amongst family. Do you want to pop the first picture on? So, family service, which means kids, you're going to be coming up here in just a second. That means old and young kids, because all of us have been kids at some point. So, beginning of the year, we presented this word to you, rewilding. Rewilding is the process of taking something that's been used, structured according to what we might want it to be, a garden, a fence, something manufactured, something organized, and giving it back over to its initial intended nature. Or in other words, allowing God's nature to overtake ours. That's the process of rewilding. And we link this into, in the Bible, it talks about this year of freedom. And the big word it gives it is the year of Jubilee. The year of announcing a change back to our initial purposes. Now the picture that in Leviticus, where we hear about this, is of allowing the land, the fields, the crops, the harvest, to grow as nature, God, intended. No pruning, no sorting out, no sowing, no reaping, just allowing nature to take its course. Hence why rewilding is the theme that we've given to a lot of the talks we're going to be talking through this year. So today in our family service, I want to have a look at a couple of verses that relate to this idea. So the next verse. I'm going to give you two verses today. So Psalms 1, verses 1 to 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. That's Psalms 1, 1 to 3. And the next verse is in Luke 13. And this is how Jesus responding to a question of what is the kingdom of God like? And Jesus says, he said, therefore, what is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his garden. And it grew and it became a tree. And the birds of the air made nests in its branches. Luke 13, verses 18 to 19. So today, I've simply titled the time today as planted. So I'm going to put the next picture on. So at this point, I am going to invite anyone who would like to come and take part in the activity. It's not an activity. If anyone would like to actually come and take part in getting your hands dirty with what this might mean, I'd encourage you to come forward. I have bought 80 bulbs and 40 plant pots. So there is easily enough for every single one of you to go home today with a little present. Plus, when Jesus preached, Jesus, funnily enough, wasn't a keen PowerPoint presenter. Jesus came and he took the things that you use every day and he said, have you looked at this before? Here's what this tells you about God. He didn't come and make you go to his classroom. The world was his classroom. So, Paola Angela, John Nelson, do you want to come forward? Girls, do you want to come forward? So, now if you stay in your seats, I'm going to be honest, guys, I'm going to make you come and come out because I'm not going to do this purely by myself here. Now, I do know we have a couple of avid, is it green thumbs, green fingers, the phrase? Green fingers, you can tell how much I do at home, don't you? Here we have a large number of bulbs. Now, Kids, do you want to grab one of those? Grab one of those. Give it a sniff. Give it a smell. Look at it. Don't eat it. Oh, you might be. You might want to eat it. Now, don't eat it. Don't eat it. It's not an onion. Have a look at those. Okay. So. Ah, thank you. That'd be helpful, wouldn't it? Thank you, Tina. Grab one of those. So, adults who are clearly way too adultish to come and enter the kingdom of God like a child. I'm going to lay it on thick, guys. Don't pretend. Okay. So, who here gardens? Does anyone here garden? Okay. So, my question to you is, what am I giving to you right now?
A bulb.
A bulb? Of what?
I don't know.
What am I handing out?
I'm a man of clean hands.
Oh, I'll let you have a pure heart.
So last week, it has to be a snowdrop.
A snowdrop. Now, by looking at the bulb in front of you, do you have any idea what it is?
Yeah.
do you know what it is? No. Most of you are looking at that bulb thinking, now, I also don't know what it is. Now, here's the thing. Unless you've seen a picture of what it is that you have in your hand of what it's going to become, you have no idea what that seed or what that bulb is meant for. Right? Until you either see a picture of what that bulb is or where it's come from, you do not know what it is that you're planting. You're going to put it in the ground and hopefully it's going to become something nice. I mean, I'm going to tell you it's something nice, it's not something bad. But as well as we have good bulbs, you also have weeds and kind of all the bad plants that also look like bulbs. Not until it's planted do you see what it is to become. So, guys, do you know what color your bulb's going to be when it grows, when it becomes a plant?
Orange.
Do you know what color it's going to be?
Maybe.
No? We have no idea, do we? But there is, inside each and every single one of you, a plan and a purpose and a design that God has imprinted in your nature. This bulb has come from, or these bulbs have come from these plants. And I'll tell you the names because some of you might know. Can I say them? Gladiolus grandiflorus performer.
Gladioli.
Dahlia decorative Mr. Blue.
Dahlia. Do we say them?
Tritolea, Queen Fabiola. Ah, I know a Fabiola. We got an auntie Fabiola. Freesia double blue, Freesia single pink, Ranunculus asiaticus orange. It sounds like Harry Potter, like Expelliarmus. See, I've got no idea what these mean, but someone does, and when someone hears those words, they're like, I know what that is. You are a seed. You are a bulb. You are something to be planted. And God has, in you, given you a name. He has given you a design. He has given you a picture of what you are to become. And that picture is from who you came from. These bulbs are a replica of where they've come from. So the Queen Fabiola bulbs have come from another plant that is the same. You're not going to get a Fabiola plant doing the Dahlia, whatever it was.
Dahlia.
That one. Like produces like. And in Genesis 1, when God made trees, he said, you will produce like you. When he made birds, he said, you will produce like you. Because what do birds give birth to? But you're not too sure, are you? Birds give birth to birds. What do horses give birth to? Horses. Like produces like. So if God has designed you, if you have come from God, if you have been born of God, the likely assumption is that we will become like God. What does that look like? Well, I can look at a picture. Here's a great thing. God has sent Jesus, his son, to show you what is in you. So, John Nelson, Paola, Ellie Mae, Camilla, Joanna. God sent Jesus for you to look at Jesus and for you to see, just like this seed, just like this bulb, one day, with care and attention and all the things we're going to be talking about in a minute, you will become like Jesus. So the question is, how do we make this become like this? How do I take the seed that God's put in my heart and my soul to become like Jesus? Should we find out? Yeah? So a few of you might have realized we have a few things around us that are going to help us. The first thing that we are going to need is a plant pot. Do you want to get a plant pot? So, we're going to hold this. We're not going to talk about this straight away. We're going to talk about something else first. Because if I take this seed and I put it in a plant pot straight away, is that going to grow? Is that going to grow like that? What's it missing? Is there something around here that's missing that might help us out? Yeah. What's this? We need to put in some soil. We need to put in some soil, some mud, some of the messy stuff. So, kids, you can take your bulb out, and this is where you might need a bit of help. You are going to take a trowel, and you are going to take some soil, a good amount. It must be a Bible verse about laden over and overflowing. Push it down, and then you're going to take your bulb. You can take any one of the bulbs you want, and you can pop it in. I don't do this, Tina. So which way is the right way up? Stalky that way around. That way around, yeah? Yeah. That right. Okay, so.
The roots go down,
don't they? The roots. Ah, those are roots, are they? Learning a lot here, guys. So, do you want to give them a hand? So, whilst you're putting this soil in, here's what the soil represents. The soil represents all the places in your lives that God has put you in. So, that could be, for example, your family. That could be your work. That could be the skills team that you're a part of. That could be the gaming community that you are a part of. That could be the place that you volunteer at. The soil represents all the relationships that you have that God has placed you in. The church is a prime example of a place to be planted into. God has placed you into a family. So this soil, which has all the nutrients that we need, all the good stuff, actually comes from the places and the people around us. Those are the things that God has placed in your life for you to be planted into. Now, you can see this picture here. Sometimes that soil is full of rocks and other things that shouldn't be there. What we're told to do as Christians is to remove the rocks and remove the spaces, remove the things that shouldn't be around us. And this is where you have a choice. You have a choice as to the type of people that you are around. You have a choice as to the types of relationships that you choose to build. Lots of people choose relationships purely because, well, they don't even choose them. They just happen to be in those relationships. There are some, for example, family, that you don't get to choose. But there are others that will have a profound influence on the person that you are becoming and will become. God says that he puts orphans into families. He doesn't put orphans into schools. He doesn't put orphans into work. He puts orphans into families because families are important. The church is also a family. So we get to choose who and how we're going to be planted with. So I'm going to get some more space here. So, soil. the communities, we're going to do water in a bit, the communities that you have been in. So you've got some friends, haven't you? You've got friends. I know that you guys do gymnastics as well. So God has placed you in preschool, in Leinster Infant School. He's placed you around your friends because these are going to be the relationships that help you. Now, last thing for the kids. Children, you are one of the most valuable things that God has ever created. Do you know why? Do you know why? Now, Jason here, I have a mummy and daddy, but they no longer look after me. Do you know who looks after me? God looks after me. Who looks after you? Mum and dad. Yeah? You guys, as children, God has placed over you a mum and a dad. He has put two people full-time caring for each and every one of you. And he's given you that until you find a space of your own. Because your lives, your hearts, are so important. Okay? So, we put the soil in. Where have you put the soil into? A pot. So we now have a space. A space where we get to grow. This space represents all the opportunities that you have to grow. All the opportunities that you have to take a root and let it grow. All good? Beautiful. Now, I can say, because you've got loads, if you want to do another one, you can do some more. We do have lots. So if you want to get another couple of those. So these spaces represent every opportunity that you have to move into new spaces. So opportunities to grow in terms of how you interact with the people around you. This is the biggest place that God has put into your life for you to grow. Your relationships are the space where we grow. So as children, these guys, they grow into obedience. As parents, we grow into care. As workers, we grow in integrity. As volunteers or servers, we grow in serving with heart and care and compassion. The interactions that you have in the soil that God has placed you in are the space that you have to grow. That is where roots grow. Because if I just took this soil and threw it on the ground and put the bulb in there hoping it would take root, it's not going to grow into a space. You need to have spaces that you grow into. And those spaces are the interactions that you have with the people and the world around you. Okay, wonderful. Next bit. So we've spoken about soil. We've spoken about a plant pot. We now are going to look at something that's in the sky that's going to help your bulb grow. What do you reckon it's going to be? Could be rain. Could be sun. Air, rain, sun. We're going to talk about all those three. First one we're going to talk about is the sun, sunlight. So, C.S. Lewis, who we all know and love. So the man that wrote The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, he said this about the sun. He says, having lost it now. He says, I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. The sun represents truth. So truth, that's big T truth, things that are really important. That's it, big T truth. So when we have light, we can see the world around us. If you now put this into a closed room, with all the windows shut, with the door shut, how will it grow? Do you know?
It
will grow a little bit, but it's going to be missing something really important. It's going to be missing its color. It's going to grow to be without any color, without any vibrancy, without any energy. So If we want to live a life of energy, of color, we need to have the truth of God's word in our life. Where do we get God's word, God's truth from?
The Bible.
The Bible? Where else? Where else? In our hearts. It comes into our hearts. Jesus, yeah, all these things. God's truth is available in so many different places. The Bible gives us the concrete word of God, but also we're going to see how God's truth is available to us in the lives of others, how God's truth is available in the world we see around us. I mean, the reason why Jesus uses pictures of plants and pots and gardening isn't because it's ours, a great idea. It's because God has revealed himself in creation. Because all creation cries God's glory. So, truth helps us fuel a healthy spiritual life. If you want to grow up with energy and vitality, we need God's word in us. So we need to get into that Bible and get around other people who love Jesus. Next one. Rain. So I did have a, what's it? Ah. So, we've got soil, we've got the space it's going to grow in, we've got some sunlight, we're now going to put in some water. Now, water is really important because without water, all the energy that is in, oh, right in your face, I'm so sorry, John Nelson. Without, oh yeah, I haven't got any, that's why I've put the plastic sheet out. So without water, all the energy and the nutrients and the good things that are in the soil, that's in the sunlight, will not pass its way into the seed. So it's going to put a little bit, otherwise it's going to get very, very wet underneath. Do you want to put some more in? You go for that? Just a little drip. Now, water represents in the Bible a really important idea. And this idea is called holiness. In the Bible, you use water, and you use a water, you use a shout of water to clean yourself. At least I hope you do. Now, if I just leave this water on this plant just once, is that going to be enough for it to grow? No. It needs to grow. It needs water every day. It needs water regularly. So our holiness, the stuff that we do that helps keep us clean, we need to do regularly. It's an ongoing relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, two words that the Bible uses are repentance. You know what repentance means? Repentance means we say sorry to God for living like the world and choose to obey him to live like he has called us to. That's what water represents in the Bible. So when we water our seeds, it means we're choosing a life of obedience to God. That we're not going to live like the world, but we're going to live like God asks us to. So we've got our bulb, we've got our soil, we've got our pot, we've got our sunlight. It's now watered. Camilla mentioned one more thing. Air. Now, why is it important that we have air? Why is it important? Now, if you covered this in a plastic bag and took all the air out of it, what happens is that this plant's going to grow like this. Weak and limp. Yeah? Air helps all the stuff that's inside to circulate around it and move around. Now, I want you guys to do something for me. Can you do something for me? Now, we are going to practice living without air. Ready? Ruben is already expecting this. So we're going to breathe in, and I'm going to show you how. I'm going to breathe in very, very specifically with this. You're going to breathe in what? Through your nose. Okay, give me through your nose. Okay. And when you think your lungs are just about full, you're going to breathe in again just a little bit. The I didn't say breathe out. I didn't say stop. What's wrong? What's wrong? What's that like to just breathe in? What's it feel like? You're tiring. Does that feel nice? Does it feel comfortable? No. See, when we breathe in, immediately you have to breathe out. You can do it again. You can breathe in and breathe in and breathe in and breathe in. But until you exhale, that air that you've taken in is not going to have its full effect. Now, do we know what air relates to in the Bible? Do you know what the air relates to? Any idea, Paola? No? No idea? Now, beginning of creation, going back to Garden of Eden, when God took man, he made him out of the dust and the dirt of the earth. So just like we've been doing here, he crafts man, and then what does he do? What does God do when he's crafted man? He blows over his creation. He breathes life into the dirt, into the dust, into the earth. Because your bodies, without the life of God, are lifeless. That breath is the Holy Spirit over your lives. Now, the way we interact with the Holy Spirit isn't just on a Sunday morning, oh, that feels so good, God, I can now go about my day. Is that how we breathe in our day? No. We breathe in the Holy Spirit, and we breathe out the change in our life. Then we breathe in again and out, because we need the Holy Spirit day in, day out, moment by moment. Just like these plants need that move, that circulation, that air that allows them to live and to grow. Okay? So we need the Holy Spirit. Daily, breathing in, breathing out, receiving, giving. So, if we look at what we've got our soil, check. We've got our plant pot, check. We've got our bulb inside it, right? Yep. What else have we done?
Water.
Giving it some water. What does the water relate to? Repentance and saying sorry. Living a clean life. Then we've got we did have a minute ago. What was out there?
Sun.
What did that relate to? The sun is this worked out really well, didn't it, guys? The sun is the truth of God's word. So we've given it some air. I said, was it you, Mark, this morning? Said these plants grow much better if you talk nicely to them. Because the exhale and the inhale, there's something there, right? I'll let you think about that one. So, okay, we've given it all. Soil, the people we're around, the plant pot, the opportunities that we have to grow, the sun, truth of God's word, water, repentance, baptism, living a different life to the world around us, a clean hands and a pure heart, the air, the Holy Spirit in our lives, in and out, giving, receiving, being changed. Right. Got a plant there, guys. There we go. That's done. Got the space. What's missing? We've given it everything we need. Why have I not got a flower? It's broken. What's wrong? What's it missing? We need time. Well done, Camilla. So despite putting all these things in place, we still need the important element of time. And God, in his grace, has given us a thing called seasons that we can tell the time. All of you here are living in a season called childhood at the moment. You have a season where you need to learn obedience, where you need to work out what your body's like, you need to work out who God is. You're living in a season where you get home and there's hot food on the table. You haven't got to worry about your laundry. You haven't got to worry about getting to school or work. But soon, although it might seem a long way away, there's going to come a season of independence and growth and responsibility. But God puts different seasons in our lives across all of our life. Seasons of joy, seasons of grief, seasons of difficulty and adversity, seasons when we might feel alone, seasons when we have to rely on God more than we have ever done before. But the thing about seasons is that they tell us when to plant. Seasons tell us when a harvest should be coming. Seasons tell us the changes in the year in ourselves that we need to be aware of. So, yes, we've got everything we need in front of us. We've got everything we need around us. But we still need time. This time is the faithfulness that we show God. Faithfulness to turn up. Faithfulness to be here. Faithfulness to love those around us. So, with these plants, girls and John Nelson, we've planted these probably as late as they probably could have been planted. These are going to require roughly 2 to 3 months of being in that pot before they can then go into a little flower. I'm saying this right, I'm hoping. That they can then go into a flower bed in your garden. Because we're moving out of winter into spring. And spring is the time for new growth, for things to move. And after spring, we know that there's summer before we move back into autumn and winter. So, the seasons help us see what God is going to be doing in our lives. And for each one of you, God has planted a seed in your life that is going to grow with the seasons, that is going to grow with your faithfulness to Him. And before you know it, you're going to see the person of Jesus growing in your hearts and in your lives as you grow up. That's the same for all of us. Jesus is growing in you. Despite the seasons, despite the time, Jesus is growing in you. So can we pray then, guys? Can we pray? So I want you to pick up your seed, your bulb. We're going to say, Father God, thank you for making me like this seed. Thank you that you have planted me in a family. Thank you that you have provided me with all I need. I pray, Lord Jesus, for faithfulness to follow you in all seasons. Help me to breathe in and out, to follow your truth, and to repent for my wrongs. I love you, Lord Jesus. Amen. So, feel free to take those. I'm going to leave this out, by the way, if you want to make any more and take any more home. A few of them are going to grow into something looking like this. And I'm sure your garden or the space you have at home will look very pretty with them. Okay? So if you want to take those with you, that's it. Thank you very much, boys and girls. One final point, just as these guys head off with their plant pots. When Jesus died and rose again, he appeared to a woman called Mary Magdalene. And he appeared to her in a cemetery, in a place full of tombs and dead people. But when Mary sees Jesus for the first time, she doesn't think it's Jesus. She looks at the man that's speaking to her, and she says, but where is Jesus? Supposing that he was actually the gardener. The way that Jesus chooses to reveal himself when he is resurrected is as the master gardener, the person who looks after us, who tends and cares for his plants, who is planting you in the right places at the right time. The same invitation that Jesus offered to Mary of a resurrected life is the same invitation open to each of us, that we choose to live and to follow and submit ourselves to Jesus Christ. These kids are going to continue doing what they're doing, but if any of you guys wanted prayer, We're here for prayer as well. But otherwise, thank you ever so much for your time. Thank you so much for your attention. If you guys want to make one, take one home, please do feel free. I've got 80 bulbs. I can't look after that many. So, yeah, that is the end of our time together. Please feel free to stick around for a biscuit and a tea and a coffee. Thank you ever so much, guys.